have an AWOR cleared for approach.
Jericho Stewart. He's in and out of prison more than half his life. He's got no impulse control. He's unable to calculate the consequences of his actions. He has a total lack of empathy for anybody or anything. He feels nothing.
You know who I am?
My head.
Your name is Bill Pope. You're an intelligence officer with the CIA.
Your daughter's name?
Emma.
Your wife? Jill, huh?
What did you do to me?
Hey, look at me. Pay attention. Jan Stroop, Dutch program.
He needed protection. Remember? You got him to the safe house. Where did you put him?
That is all we need to know.
I need you to remember.
I don't remember nothing.
I'm almost about 99.9% sure and positive that the script of this movie was written on a crayon by a 5-year-old given to their parent who just so happened to be a screenwriter, and he couldn't make out some of the words because a 5-year-old wrote this, so some of the words, you know, there's probably some backwards E's in it and stuff like that, and he just decided to, let's just say, touch it up, if you will, and add an extra backwards E in there, and then handed this to a studio and said, I got a movie for your ass right here. A crime thriller brain switcheroo movie. What do you think about that? And they probably thought, oh, that's badass. Anything with brains do well. Limitless, Lucy, all that. I love it. Yes, make it. Who you got for it? Oh, man. Kevin Costner's the man right now. Well, to some people, not to me. I think he's fucking terrible. But, that probably sounds cool to some people, but then you hear the crayon part and go like, that doesn't sound awesome at all. Actually, that sounds kind of fucking stupid. Kind of like this movie, Criminal. Plot synopsis, you got Ryan Reynolds. He's playing, what's that boy's name? Bill Pope. And you don't know what's kind of going on. It's kind of a lot of shit going on to begin this movie. Bill Pope, he's just pretty much on the run. He notices he has a bag full of money, but then, and he's got people chasing him. Feds are watching him. Then we later find out, oh, he is one of the feds. And he's got this organization that's following him, looking for something. You don't really know what. You think it's the money and the passport and the bag he has or whatever. But then he ditches the bag. You know, he gets into a gunfight. He ends up getting murdered, which I don't know why they murdered him if they were looking for something. That makes no fucking sense, actually. Now that I really wow, that really makes no fucking sense, then. Damn, so wow, I just had an epiphany over this fucking movie, how that made no sense. So the feds get Ryan Reynolds' body, and they take it to a doctor. Oh, no, they go to a doctor before they take the body and say, hey, you've been working on pretty much, you know, neuron surgeons and stuff like, he's a neuron surgeon, you know, you've been working on brain study and how to transfer memories to another person's body. Damn near pretty much a sci-fi film at this point. And he's like, yeah, but we've only tested it on rats. We haven't tested it on human trials. And he's like, well, your first human trial is about to begin now. Because the feds need to know the information of where the, I don't want to call him a hostage. I don't really know what he was. I guess, I don't even know his fucking name. The Dutchman, which was his name. I don't know the actor that played him. He's barely on screen. They don't even show him. I don't even get a lick of dialogue at all. Where he hit him at, because he has pretty much the passcode. Well, not the passcode. He's just an expert computer hacker who can pretty much launch into or hack into the military's missiles of mass destructions and shit like that and stuff. So, and plus, you know, they were kind of trying to get him out of the, I guess, out of the country or whatever. That's what the money and the passport and stuff was for. So Tommy Lee Jones is that neuron surgeon, and he pretty much tells him, yeah, I got a body you could transfer those memories to. And they go to this prison where, and this is the most baffling, laughing part too. They go to this prison where Kevin Costner, looking like an old ass man. You got Gary Oldman too, who's playing Quaker Wells in here. I don't know if there's a police department or what. They don't really say. And he's pretty much the head honcho. He's the chief there. And they go to this prison to get Kevin Costner, who plays Jericho Stewart in here. Got a grown man beard. Looking like Kurt Russell pretty much in Hateful Eight. Looking like shit. And he's got a chain wrapped around his neck. They tranquilize dart him, and he looks at them and say, I'm going to need more than that to put me out. So, and they pretty much say that his, I forgot what they said, but he, okay, pretty much his trauma was, he was in a car accident, if you will, abusive parents. His father threw him out of the car window when it was moving, and he suffered a lot of brain trauma as a child. Spent pretty much his whole life in this prison. Because most of what's not up there is not there. He claims he doesn't have any feelings and shit like that towards anybody or anyone. He's just crazy. So they decide to transfer Bill Pope's memories into him. You might be wondering, why the fuck would they do that? That doesn't make any damn sense. Now, this goes back to my whole Suicide Squad talk on the last movie spoilers episode where... What in the fuck is up with the government constantly getting these criminals to fucking make their wingman as supposedly the hero? What in the hell makes you think this crazy ass motherfucker who spent his life in prison after all the shit he's done in his life would just help you out? That made no fucking sense to me, but whatever. So the surgery is a success, but you know, Kevin Costner kind of plays off as if, oh, it wasn't a success. And, you know, Gary Oldman's like, oh, he's useless. Just take him out and, I guess, take his ass back to wherever he came from. Kevin Costner thus escapes. Then his memories of Ryan Reynolds' characters kind of comes back to him. And he realizes, Ryan Reynolds' character had a wife played by Gal Gadot, plays Jill Pope. And he had a daughter, Laura DeCaro. Her name was Emma Pope. And, you know, he kind of breaks out. He's getting ready to rob them and stuff like that, which made no sense why he would even show up to their house anyway. And he decides, I guess he didn't really hurt them because he claims my memories of him wouldn't let me hurt you. So he kind of just goes back on the run, and he's just kind of going in the motion of trying to find this money and stuff because I don't know what he's going to do with the money. He kind of runs into Tommy Lee Jones again. And Tommy Lee Jones pretty much tells him, you know, after 48 hours, your brain's going to probably deteriorate and you're going to lose all the memory you've had of Bill Pope. So, and he's like, well, so what are you going to do with this money and stuff? I mean, you know, the thing is, too, he's an escaped convict pretty much at this point. He's murdered police officers and whatsoever. And yet he is not playing a single bit in this film subtle at all while he's on the street, roaming the streets of London or nothing like that. But I digress. So, you know, meanwhile, you got this villain who out of fucking nowhere finds out. I don't even know how he found out that Ryan Reynolds' character's brain memories was put into this, into Kevin Costner's character. But this Jordy Malal, who played Xavier in this film, and you might remember him as the villain in Bad Boys 2. He fucking sucks in this film, because somehow he's just this expert computer genius, and that's all he does in the fucking film is sit in some empty ass warehouse behind a computer hacking into the most secured city in the whole goddamn world, which is London. It's damn near was reminding me of London Has Fallen. So, you know, as the movie goes along, Kevin Costner's the feelings that of Ryan Reynolds or his memories start to kind of deteriorate his old self, if you will, and fill his body now up with hope and love and feelings and all this stuff for Gal Gadot's character and just life in general. And thus, that's your fucking plot. Whatever, that's the fucking plot. Okay, this movie was fucking terrible. I'm talking fucking terrible. First of all, it's boring. The first part and the ending just felt like one long-ass hour car chase. And in the middle of the film, for another hour, it just felt like it was Kevin Costner stumbling and bumbling around the streets of London as he's wounded from some wound that he just mysteriously gotten or something like that. The director on this is a guy who did The Iceman with Michael Shannon, which was a really good film, actually. So I don't know how the fuck he did this one. I'm talking about Ariel Roman. And he did this one. The first thing I want to get off my bat is positive, what I have to say. The opening with Ryan Reynolds is slightly like 5 minutes long. I actually thought it was intriguing. Ryan Reynolds was, he didn't really have any dialogue or anything like that, but, you know, he looked the part and he was looking good. And Gary Oldman was playing Commissioner Gordon, but, you know, nobody plays Commissioner Gordon better than Gary Oldman himself. But the worst thing of the fucking movie, which I was shocked by, was Kevin Costner. He was dreadful in this film. Like, I'm talking god-awful. I mean, Gal Gadot comes in, and she don't help the film at all, whatever. I mean, she comes in, and she's got that terrible fucking ass. It's just like her as Wonder Woman. She really was just there. And it's like, wow. But in this movie, she's bad, but it's just like, even in her bad moments, she's just there, you know? She doesn't add anything. She doesn't take anything away. It's just like, oh, there goes Gal Gadot again. She's talking. Got that accent going. Oh, okay. So that wasn't her acting in Dawn of Justice. That really is just her voice. Oh. All right, well, now we know the bitch can't act. But either way, but Kevin Costner, he did a lot of mumbling for about an hour in this film, and it was grunting, and it was just him being the biggest dick in the world, and it was to the point where I was watching this and going, like, who am I supposed to like in this movie again? Because Gary Oldman and his character and a bunch of police, they're running around like a bunch of buffoons, not knowing what the fuck to do. And they just barely found out that this dude got away from a big-ass car cop explosion and stuff like that, where they had an autopsy done and they couldn't even find his body. But it's like, oh, he lives now. And you got Jericho Stewart, Kevin Costner's character. He's just running around being a dick to everyone. And the movie's trying to do that on purpose because it's trying to show you that, oh, later in the film, he'll get emotions and a heart because of Ryan Reynolds' moment, which, by the way, makes no fucking sense whatsoever. Even Tommy Lee Jones, who's sleepwalking his ass off through this movie, Tommy Lee Jones tells him, your brain is going to start deteriorating. Well, you'll lose those memories. How the fuck, the longer the movie goes on, his emotions get stronger if his brain is deteriorating? That made no sense. And that stuck out like a sore thumb to me. I was sitting there going like, wait a minute. Didn't 20 minutes ago, Tommy, the doctor who did this, say this one thing? And how the fuck did he know it would deteriorate after 48 hours if they never even tried this on human trial patients? The action in here is not really much action. It's one of those slow-paced action. We think we're an artsy film, but we kind of suck and we're really not. But, you know, we're going to try and strive for that anyway because, we're in a different location than America. But it's actually kind of shit. And I'm not going to lie, you kind of get lost in the movie as to, why are they looking for this Dutch guy again? Well, what's so important about this passport and money? I mean, it's just passport and money, whatever. Because everybody keeps saying, where'd you hide the bag at? And it's just like, what do you give a fuck? Especially when you find out that the Dutch man, he has, like, you know, a flash drive that leads to weapons of mass destruction and fall in the wrong hands and, you know, all chaos will happen. But the villain here, he's literally behind a computer the whole time. And you got Gary Oldman running around like a buffoon, like I said earlier. And they keep asking, where's the Dutchman? It's the end of the world. And you almost kind of forget because there's so much shit going on screen that, mind you, is not interesting whatsoever because you're trying to grasp the logic of how this stupid shit works in the first place. You just tend to forget, why are they looking for this guy again? Mind you, when the end of the movie rolls around, this motherfucker, because Gal Gadot, I guess she works at the university in this film. They don't really show her that much in the film, but you later find out she works at the university. And that's where the Dutchman was stashed by Ryan Reynolds' character, in her office at the university. I'm just like, oh, hold on. So what, Gal Gadot was on a fucking leave of absence or vacation or what? Because you mean tell me she was just hiding in this place? And mind you, that's where he hid the money and the passport too, was in the library. And I was like, so you mean tell me Gal Gadot's the only one with the keys to that? Yeah, the writing was just shit in this film. And then you got to the point with the cliche. There's a fuckload of cliches in here. And, you know, it's like, oh, what's the one thing that'll, you know, give him, inspire those feelings of Ryan Reynolds to kind of kick into Kevin Costner's body here and just be like, oh, his little daughter, little Emma. And, you know, she's the one that, you know, because she's such a child and she's innocent and cute and adorable, she's going to spark that feeling in Kevin Costner's character to where he starts to feel love and all this stuff for people. And, you know, it was getting to a point where, you know, Gal Gadot kept asking all these questions because, you know, Kevin Costner's character kept showing things of the memories that how much Ryan Reynolds, you know, loved her and stuff like that. And it was getting kind of creepy because I was like, okay, Gal, I hope you ain't falling for this dude in the movie, because I'm like, he is old enough in this film to be probably your granddad. And the movie even ends with, you know, the whole 48-hour thing's passed. He's been shot so many times, I can't believe he didn't die yet. But somehow he lives. And they're like, oh, we want to see if his memories came back. And you know, Gal Gadot and the daughter, they run to him on the beach where Gal Gadot and Ryan Reynolds got married. And then next thing you know, he does this little sign, you know, saying I love you, that Ryan Reynolds used to do for Gal Gadot. And you just look at it and go like, ew. It's like watching someone's grandfather fuck a 20-year-old or something like that. That was like, God damn. I was kind of creeped out by the end of this. And then Gary Oldman, because I love Tommy Jones, was like, so what are we going to do with him? I guess we're going to lock him back up. And then Gary Oldman said, no, I'm going to give that son of a bitch a job. And I was just like, what? Why in the hell is a criminal like him getting a job? He's unstable. And now he's going through all these emotional flashbacks and memories and shit. It's just like, are you crazy? This makes no fucking sense whatsoever. I was still at this point of the movie. It's 2 hours long, 2 hours and 5 minutes to be exact, with the introduction from the producer. Because it was supposed to be an hour and 53 minutes or 54 or something like that. But then with the introduction by the producer, who I don't even remember who his name was, and then people started clapping for him, and I was like, stop clapping for him, because he just said the magic words of, this movie may not look as good as you might think it is, you know, because I saw this about a month ago, people, I kid you not, so... and just now really getting to it, I didn't really think, I'm not gonna lie, I didn't even think this was gonna be a major release. I was like, yeah, they're probably not gonna finish this, but sure enough, they did do it either way. And when it got to the end of it, I was like sitting there scratching my head, because they end up, once, you know, they find the Dutchman, this big ass gunfire battle happens at this university and shit, University of London to be exact. You know, Kevin Costner, I don't even know how the fuck this is possible. He tells the Dutchman, I need you to do me a favor. If this guy gets a hold of his flash drive, what I want you to do is I want you, whatever missile he directs or targeted, I want you to direct it towards back to him. I don't even know how the fuck that's possible. I don't know how that is possible, because that's how he kills the villain here. The villain gets a hold of the flash drive, but then once he launches the missiles, the missile comes his way no matter what coordinates he put in, which was just... That's like some computer genius hacking shit right there. I don't even know how that was done possible. And when they find the Dutchman, they spend the whole movie looking for him. And I don't even know what he does. But then when they find him, they just shoot him in the head right away. And I was just like, so did they just want to kill him? Like, what was I thought they wanted something from him. It was like, oh, just a flash drive? It's like, dude, this dude that you got, the villain here, Xavier, he's been hacking and shit throughout the whole movie. I mean, I've seen him hack so much shit in this film, and he's got, like, secret agents out there in the field you don't even know about because they kind of come out of nowhere. It's like, so you just wanted this for a flash drive that you probably could have easily yourself hacked into the government if you wanted to. And I love it because Gary Oldman's character, they spend the movie kind of chasing Kevin Costner down, because they're like, don't you give him that flash drive, whatever you do. And he's just like, I got to save, what's this girl's name, Gal Gadot, Jill and Emma, I got to save them. And they're just like, and Gary Oldman's trying to tell him, more lives are in stake here if you give him that flash drive. And then he says some cheesy ass lines, and delivers it terribly because he's got that rough, gruffy voice too. He's like, their lives matter to me, though. And I was just like, oh, you got to be fucking kidding me. I'm telling you this right now. If I had a choice between the life of saving a little girl and some woman over the lives of pretty much countries and the world, and pretty much the whole world, I think I'm going to listen to Gary Oldman here, but you know, obviously it's an action film, and the hero's got to get his just dues, and that's how he got him, with having that hacker make sure that if he did get a hold of his flash drive, the missiles were redirected to his coordinations instead of anywhere else. I don't know how the fuck you do that, but a lot of shit in this movie just happens just to fucking happen because it's a coincidence. Yeah, I didn't like this movie at all. The writing in here is probably the worst thing. The writing in Kevin Costner was awful. I think he was doing what he could with the writing that was given to him, but he barely has any dialogue. And then when it comes to the end of the film, when he does have dialogue, it's fucking awful on his line delivery. I mean, he's constantly just making noises throughout the film. You know, like I said, he's just a fucking dick in the film. You don't really know who to root for. You kind of just don't care at one point. And then the other point, you just kind of get lost to where you just like, what was the point of this movie again? I don't see what's going on here, but whatever, man. Yeah, this is a fuck it. It's easily a fuck it. It's more of a fuck it because some people was clapping at the end of it because they found Kevin Costner to be funny in some of his grunts and stuff whenever he would interact with real people on the streets of London, and he would just grunt like, argh, argh, and it's like, and people were laughing at that, and it just baffled the fuck out of me while they were, and you know, you got your little claps in there and stuff like that, and I was just like, yep, I think this is going down the fuck it territory. So Kevin Costner, wow, you, since your little so-called renaissance coming into doing these action films, man, you have not made a good one yet. I think it's time for you to just hang this shit up, dude. I think you're done. You need to just quit. Please just fucking quit. Because you know it's bad when the actors of all actors even does a better job than you in here. And I'm talking about Mr. Colin Sand, Mr. Budinski himself, who's really stretching out of his pavement to you know, show his range of acting with being another cop in another film or some kind of FBI agent, whatever the fuck he's supposed to be, which, by the way, he's fucking awful in this film, doing the same shit he does in every film, play some special ops guy or cop or something like that, and, you know, really going out of your range there, Mr. Budinski, really going out of your range. But I gotta even say, for his shitty ass scene, even he did a better job than Kevin Costner. If that happens, then, oh, fuck me almighty, you know something's wrong with this damn thing.
You don't know me, but I know you.
Who are you?
They stopped your husband in my head.
Why?
I'm looking for details that he knew before he was killed.
Washington, Berlin, Beijing, with the graveyards. People can understand there is a better way to run this world.
Having your man in my head made me feel things. Right. Wrong.
Can you feel what Billy felt?
He loves you so much.
The last chance, or they die.
There's so many lives at stake.